what on earth has happened to Candace Owens, and why should Christians support Israel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
It's going to be a very important broadcast today. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. First half of the show, I will talk, not gleefully, not joyfully, about the real unraveling of Candace Owens and her bizarre, blatant, ugly, dangerous anti-Semitism. I mean, really bad stuff in light of the reach that she has. In the second half of the show, going to have a fascinating interview with Jeff Myers. He's written a new book, Should Christians Support Israel? It is nuanced. It is fleshed out on the ground. Jeff, in particular, works with young people, young Christians around America, around the world, to help them have a biblical worldview. So it's going to be a very important discussion. It's possible I may have time for some calls. If so, I'll do it in the first half of the show. So call now. I just can't guarantee I'll have a chance to get to your calls. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. So call now. I may be able to get to some calls in the first half hour before we switch over to our guest. The Frontline newsletter that we'll be preparing for September is really going to have a strong Israel focus and have some very, very important information and testimonies as well. If you're not getting our monthly digital Frontline newsletter, it's free, no cost for the subscription. It comes your way, as I said, monthly on all different platforms. You can read it, whatever device you have. And to get it, just go to thelineoffire.org, click subscribe, and fill in your name, email, zip code. It's that simple. Lineoffire.org, just click subscribe. And also, you'll get an update once a week with our latest articles. For example, an article I wrote about Candace Owens, so going into great depth about what we'll be talking to you about on the air and going through some of the specific quotes there. We won't play all of them on the air, but some of the specific quotes. You'll have that article. You'll have this video. You'll be notified about it. So that's another free service that we send out to you once a week. Okay. Some months back, it was late last year, when there was a conflict between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens when she was still on The Daily Wire. She said some things that, to me, were blatantly anti-Semitic. There was no disguising what she was saying. And then made some very ignorant, wrong statements about Israel. I mean, just factually wrong. People are wondering, what's up? What's up with Candace Owens? And then this year, a few months back, some statements that were blatantly anti-Semitic and putting out narratives that are just wrong, false narratives, but some of the standard conspiratorial anti-Jewish theories that are out there. So a few days back, she went on another rant. I had only heard a clip that was about a minute and a half long, and then last night saw maybe eight more minutes of it, which were even more shocking. But I want to play this for you. And remember, she has millions of online followers. She said a lot of good things, done a lot of good things over the years. She's recently now officially converted to Catholicism to join her husband. And we'll come to that a little later in the broadcast. But I want you to hear what she has to say. We had to bleep out a word or two. And then I'm going to tell you more of what she shared and why it is so utterly factually outlandish. I'm not talking about an opinion. I'm talking about factually outlandish. Oh, okay. You know, Aaron Judge, the greatest hitter in baseball right now, one of the greatest home run hitters ever. Aaron Judge is not on the Supreme Court, even though his last name is Judge. He's not on the Supreme Court. Oh. And Michael Brown, I am Caucasian, even though my last name is Brown. But the type of stuff that Candace Owens puts forward would be just as ridiculous as saying, well, Aaron Judge is on the Supreme Court because that's his last name, Judge, and Michael Brown is obviously a person of color because the last name is Brown. I mean, stuff that bizarre and that factually false. All right, listen to what she has to say.
Many moons ago, before they decided to establish Israel as a country, I know you've read like the short version in the classroom, and it was like, oh, the Holocaust happened, and then we realized that Israel needs a state. No, that's not how it went down. That's not how it went down at the F all, okay? Catholics and Christians were going missing on Passover, and then they would find bodies, okay, across Europe, and they were able to trace them back to Jews. Blow, Bible! There weren't Jews, okay? These were Frankists. And so just like Leo Frank killed Mary Fagan on Passover back in 1913 or 1914, I can't remember the exact date. He did it during Passover for a reason. This Frankist cult, which is masquerading behind Jews, still participates in this day, okay? Why would you want, as a small nation that is the size of New Jersey, okay, why would you want the pedophiles to flee there? Like, why would you want the pedophiles to be procreating? Unless the nation of Israel may have been established by some Frankists. And it's looking like Theodore Herzl's family was from the exact same area in Moravia and in Bohemia where the Frankist cult was founded. Crazy. Crazy. When you get into his family, that, like, maybe Theodore Herzl, who wrote in a book that he didn't care how many Jews had to die for him to get the state of Israel, like, maybe he was not actually a Torah-worshipping Jew. Like, I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas here. And by throwing out some ideas, I mean I've read a ton of books and I figured it out, okay? I am just, like, so over the idea that Israel is our ally and friend. If another person says that stupid statement, I'm going to personally punch you in the face. I am. It's going to be me. That's a joke. Don't take this video off of Twitter. Wink.
All right, so Candace Owens obviously has some real problems. She has some real problems. That was a sick rant there. And then the mix of profanity asks what kind of Christian she's on top of everything else, just little hints. But that is a woman that needs prayer right now, an encounter with reality, and repentance of sin. So let's just factually break down this utter ridiculous, nonsensical rant, which then goes on for maybe another 8 minutes, and it gets more and more bizarre and crazy. So first, Catholics, Christians were not going missing all over Europe, and their bodies were found and traced back to Jews. That is the blood libel. It is a lie. It is an anti-Semitic lie, documented, proven lie, that every year, Jews to this day will kidnap a Christian child or a priest or something and then kill them and drain their blood and use it for the making of Passover matzah, the unleavened bread. That is a blatant 100% lie with zero truth to it. It has been spread over the years. She said, no, but it wasn't actually Jews doing it. It was Frankists. Frankists, a perverted sex cult founded by Jacob Frank, they were guilty of all kinds of bizarre, sicko things, but they were not even accused of doing this. They actually accused others of doing it, but they were not actually even accused of doing this. So this, first, the thing is a lie that it happened, number one. It's still believed in many parts of the Muslim Arab world, this blood libel. Number one, it's a lie that it ever happened. Number two, it had nothing to do with Frankists on top of it. Number three, she says, wait a second. Theodore Herzl, his family, came from the exact same place in Moravia, in Bohemia, that the Frankists came from. No, the Frankists didn't come from there. Jacob Frank was a Polish Jew, and then the Frankist cult originated in what would be modern-day Ukraine. Well, they're both Europe. I mean, you get it. Oh, so something happened in Europe, and your father was born in Europe, so it must be part of it. You're part of the Ku Klux Klan. Why? Because you live in America, and that's where the Klan started. I mean, it's that bizarre, crazy stuff. Not to mention that Frankist had basically disappeared by the time Herzl was born. But why quibble over facts? Why deal with facts when you can have another anti-Semitic conspiracy? And when people like me push back against it, see, that's proof that the Jews own the world. No, it's proof that I, as a follower of Jesus, hate lies, especially the kind of lies that have brought the bloodshed of my people over the centuries. That's why I hate it. And when someone's doing it as an alleged Christian, all the more do I hate it, all the more do I pray for their awakening and their repentance. All right, now, what about Leo Frank? But Leo Frank killed Mary Fagan during Passover 1913. First, Leo Frank, his last name was Frank, had no more to do with Frankists than that he was a living Frankfurter. Come on. The guy's last name was Frank. It's a common last name. Here, how can I be alive today when I was killed by cops in Ferguson, Missouri? Michael Brown was killed. Oh, there are lots of Michael Browns up there. His name is Leo Frank. There's no connection between Leo Frank and Frankists. The Frankists didn't exist. The Frankists had no connection to America. Plus, the great majority of legal scholars believe that Leo Frank was framed, that he didn't commit any murder, that they know who did commit the murder. They're aware of who committed the murder, so he was falsely accused. And then there was such an anti-Semitic outrage against him, he was dragged out of a prison and lynched. But this is further proof that the Frankists are pedophiles, and the Frankists found it, the State of Israel, because Theo Herzl's family came from a place that allegedly Frankism was born in, even though it wasn't, even though it didn't exist really anymore there, that there's some connection somewhere, and that the Frankists are masquerading as Jews. Actually, the Frankists were Jews. The Frankists were Jews. They were perverted sects, a sect of Jews, but they were Jews. And then ultimately Frank and others converted to Catholicism and still continue to secretly practice Jewish things. But I mean, everything that she says, every statement is 100% blatantly false. But according to her, Zionists defend pedophiles and criminals. She says, this is later on in her rant, pedophiles from America are allowed by Israel to flee and receive protection from their state. Israel is not our ally. Israel is not our friend. Israel is our enemy. So, I mean, it is unbelievably perverse, sick stuff. Oh, and then she brings up, nobody's talking about JFK's assassination, which according to her was a Mossad hit job. And anyone in America that speaks about Israel, they have to first say, they may kill me for this. I don't know if you knew that, but according to Candace Owens, around America, anyone that ever says anything against Israel, they first have to say they're going to kill me. And she says, hey, if something unusual happens to her, blame it on the Zionists. This woman needs prayer. And her followers need prayer. And it'll be interesting to see the people that start blasting me on our YouTube channel that we will block if they also espouse anti-Semitic nonsense or anti-black nonsense or anti-anybody nonsense. Not on our YouTube channel.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that HCY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shout out of appreciation to our great co-sponsor, Tribute, along with you. Our monthly supporters, you help bring this broadcast to this station and air it on podcast and YouTube. Thanks for standing with us. All right, before I try to take a call or two, before we bring on my guest, Jeff Myers, at the bottom of the hour, a little bit more of the horrific rant from Candace Owens. She says that, got to look deeper into these things, the first Jewish Supreme Court justice, Louis Brandeis, was a Frankist. What? What's her proof? Look it up. That's what she says. Look it up. So I asked AI Claude, the bot I subscribe to, I asked AI Claude, where did anyone get the idea that Louis Brandeis was a Frankist? Claude had no idea. Claude had no idea where he even came from. You can ask a question, where did this view come from? Oh, people to this, they argue this, you know, conspiracy theory here. Claude had no idea. It was that bizarre. And some of the points that AI presented, the Frankist movement was primarily active in the 18th century while Brandeis lived in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Oh, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln never met. What do you know? Well, the Frankists never got to America in the 1900s, etc. Okay. Number two, Brandeis was known for his strong ethical standards and progressive reforms, which seems at odds with what is known about Frankist beliefs and practices. Understatement. And there are no reputable historical sources that suggest Brandeis had any connection to Frankism. The only idea that Claude had was this myth might have originated from anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Now, Brandeis says, quote, Owen says, every person who speaks about Israel has to basically say a statement like, I don't want to get killed. Right. So I don't know if you noticed that. No one in America speaks out against Israel, the Jews, without first saying, I don't want to get killed. I don't know if you noticed that. I've never noticed it in 53 years, but somehow she has noticed that. And if anything happens to her, quote, blame the Zionists, like 1,000%, blame the Zionists. And now she's going to give you an easy litmus test by which you can judge, quote, any commentator. If they don't condemn Israel's alleged defense of pedophiles, and if they don't acknowledge that Louis Brandeis was a Frankist, then they too are evil, psychopathic Zionists. Friends, this is sick stuff. This is dangerously sick stuff. Where's she getting it from? I don't know. But Rabbi Tovia Singer, counter-missionary with whom I have profound differences, whose methodologies I categorically reject, and who I believe through telling falsehoods is destroying the faith of many, and against whom we have a video series where we set the record straight and demonstrate his distortions and falsehoods. Interestingly, he said something a friend sent it to me, and it might be true. I tried to research, find out more about Candace Owens' husband, her Catholic husband. I was unable to find out more. It may be readily available. I just didn't find it thus far. So I don't know if this is true or not, But it might be something Rabbi Singer said to actually agree with. So listen to what he had to say.
Candace Owens was. I think everyone is missing this point about her. I don't know her personally.
Right.
But there's a big, big thing.
She was with Jews, and now all of a sudden she's like...
Everyone missed this, and I don't know why. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only person to say this, but here's the real truth, and everyone missed it. It's like it went by and everyone ignored it.
Right.
Her husband. He is from an iteration of Catholicism that rejects the Second Vatican Council. That's very important. But what really happened there, I saw this coming. Her husband belongs to a version of Catholicism where they hold that the real last pope is Pius XII, Yimach Shemai, Hitler's pope. So therefore, I don't know her, but I do remember this. Years ago, she used to be a Protestant. She was Reformed theology Protestant, kind of like a Calvinist. And I remember when she had her first baby, she had a necklace, gold necklace on it, said, Ima, you watch. And I actually commented, I said, look how nice the necklace is. It says Ima when she had her first baby. But at that time, she didn't have the same religion as her husband.
Right.
Her husband is from the Roman Catholicism that rejects this pope. They hold that this pope is an apostate. So this iteration of Catholicism is very anti-Semitic. The obvious thing right in front of them, she converts to her husband's Catholicism and she suddenly expresses all these very unflattering things.
I became a conservative overnight, you know?
Right, so Ima, that's Hebrew for mother. So Toby Singer could be right on it. There certainly is a very anti-Semitic brand of extreme Catholicism. There are anti-Semitic expressions in other parts of Christian expression, but certainly in this, I just don't know the connection with Candace Owens and that, if he's right about it, but it would certainly make sense if true. All right, so pray for her. Pray for her awakening and her repentance, and if it's affected her husband as well, for his awakening and repentance. I think I got time for a quick call. Let us go over to Dayton, Ohio. Charles, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that I heard you today. I don't listen to Candace Owens very much. I can't remember the last time. I've never heard her preach the gospel or, you know, to declare the gospel. And so I didn't know that she even claimed to be a Christian. But I don't listen to her that much, but I think she just hurt a lot of her following, I would think, by talking like ridiculous like that. And
you know, on the one hand, for sure, there'll be some who'll be repulsed because of the good things she had said, and they followed her for the good things. Now they'll be repulsed. Others will be poisoned. That's the tragic thing. Others will buy into this and be poisoned, and that's why it's more grievous. If it's just one person, I'm not going to discuss it on the air, but it's one person with a fairly good social media following and influence, then when it gets this sick, this ugly, and I've had no access to her, sought to connect to her privately without success. So this stuff needs to be called out because it's really ugly and destructive.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm glad you mentioned it. I just don't listen to her that much because I've never heard her, you know, teach the Bible or preach the gospel or talk about Jesus as, you know.
She hasn't been online as a gospel preacher anyway. You know, that hasn't been her purpose or her persona, even if she had held to certain Christian views or values. Hey, we've just got a minute. Anything you wanted to ask me?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, are there any Christian groups that are active in supporting Israel right now on the ground over there?
Oh, yeah, many. Absolutely. Quite
okay.
A few. Yeah, if you want to find out firsthand, the colleague that I work with, one of my best friends for decades, Scott Volk, leads Together for Israel. So togetherforisrael.org, Together humanityforisrael.org. They are constantly doing humanitarian work on the ground. There are many Christian organizations. Scott's a Jewish believer in Jesus, but he's working with Christians around the world to stand with Israel in loving and helpful ways, and to stand with others in the land in need. It's not exclusively for Jewish people there. So if you want to pour funds in, if you want to be involved in practical ways, again, there are many Christian organizations, thankfully, helping on the ground, and some seeking help within Gaza as possible. Togetherforisrael.org. They're the ones that organize our tours when we go over to Israel. But they're great folks, and they really have a system where they can turn 100% of your money around and turn it right back into help, humanitarian, compassionate help within Israel. Togetherforisrael.org. We come back, going to have a great discussion about should Christians support Israel. Don't go anywhere. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up, saying enough is enough, and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team, because we are on the front lines together, and we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. I'm always smiling because I'm blessed to be on the air with you, but I'm also smiling because, you know, every day except for Thursday, we go right from the announcer into me talking. And then Thursday, we have some Jewish or Israeli music that plays. And some of the times, like twice so far, two out of two, I start talking as the music's coming and my guys look through the window at me. But you don't hear it because they don't turn my mic on until the music starts to fade and I start to speak. And anyway, we're trying to get our guest, Jeff Myers, on the phone. Not sure what's up. We can't get to him at the moment. We'll keep trying. I saw this article during one of the breaks on the show, and this is so interesting. According to this report, a number of places I'm looking at on Fox News, Hamas leader Sinwar reportedly wants guarantee of survival as Gaza's ceasefire talks said to be faltering. Negotiations between Israel and Hamas for a ceasefire continue to hit stumbling blocks, with the terrorist group's leaders holding out for guarantees of safety, among other demands. So the Israeli outlet Ynet said, Sinwar, an Egyptian official told Ynet, Sinwar emphasizes that security of his life and well-being must be ensured. Now, isn't this remarkable? He's calling on his people to die for their cause. He knows that by the attack that he masterminded on Israel on October 7th, he knew out of the gate, he probably never dreamed it would be that successful. Israel's security failures that day were abysmal and inexcusable. Otherwise, there could have been some bloodshed, but a fraction of what happened, and maybe very few, if any, hostages. But abysmal security failures on Israel's side. Hamas, with its murderous rage, and with many of the Palestinian citizens working with them and even raiding and attacking together with them, produced the worst bloodshed in Jewish history since the Holocaust. And then Sinwar has been quoted earlier as saying that it doesn't matter if 100,000, 200,000 Palestinians have to die in order to see some of their goals realized, so be it. Sinwar, according to this, is saying, whatever negotiations there are, I have to be safe. What happened to martyrdom for the cause? In any case, we've got Jeff on the line, president of Summit Ministries, Colorado-based nonprofit organization that equips and supports the rising generation to embrace God's truth and champion a biblical worldview. He holds a PhD from University of Denver. And this book, Should Christians Support Israel? Seeking a Biblical Worldview in an Impossible Situation, is the kind of book that you want to give to friends in church that are questioning it, ask your pastor to take a look at, and especially your teenager, your college-age kid or colleague who's asking about it. It's written with understanding. It's written without an angry edge to it. Say, hey, let's talk about this on the ground. So I'm so pleased to bring Dr. Morrow onto the air with us. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Michael, it's great to be with you. I appreciate all the work that you've done on this topic.
Oh, my joy over the years. So first, tell me about the young people that you're getting to. Who are you speaking to, equipping on a regular basis?
I'm primarily working, Michael, with those in Gen Z. Some of them are of voting age, 18 to 24 years of age. Some of them are down to age 12. But that's the particular generation that I'm working with right now. And the reason it's important is because this has been an indoctrinated generation. They have become radicalized based on some of the things that you've spoken of, the oppressor versus oppressed mindset, the idea that everything in life can be viewed through a lens of power and that it's all very simple and that history is going to advance through conflict. And so, you know, we should endorse what Hamas has done to the Israelis. 60% of young people today believe that. And that's what led me to address this particular topic. And it's true with evangelical young people as well. Most of the students who come to Summit Ministries are Christians or say that they're Christians. But, you know, evangelical support for Israel has dropped in half within the last 5 years. And I think, you know, we're getting to an understanding of why that is and how to rescue them from the indoctrination.
Yeah, it's so critically important. We have to understand their thought process, what's influenced them, how they've been influenced, and respond to them in such a way that will give them substantive answers that they can chew on and say, okay, you're right, I embrace that. So in your book, you start off first chapter, Gates of Gaza, chapter 2, Israel in Wartime, a firsthand account. So is this your firsthand account?
It is, yes. So I've been to Israel before, but this particular trip was during the war. about 100 days after the October 7th terrorist attacks. It was the first opportunity I had to be able to get there. And it's not easy in a time of war to get into Israel. The place is empty. There are no pilgrims. The streets of Jerusalem were empty, which is a bizarre feeling when you're there, because usually it's packed with people who are there to see all of the sites from Scripture. But that particular trip led me down to the Gaza envelope to spend time with people who are in the IDF, an intelligence officer, people on the left, people on the right, you know, people who are secular Jews, religious Jews, Jews, Arabs, Palestinians, to try to figure out what is going on that's not being reported in the news that I could bring back and share with those in this rising generation.
Yeah, so you have another chapter that right after this, the Israel that you don't know about, the real Israel. What's the Israel that people don't know about? I mean, we've got constant news reports. We've got footage from Israel. We see what's happening in Gaza. What is it about Israel, the people, the nation, that most of the West, especially a lot of young people, don't know?
Well, I started with a lot of the things that young adults will say. Israel doesn't exist legitimately. It wasn't formed until 1948. You know, and it just, you go down the line. Well, Jews don't deserve their own state. God doesn't work through the Jews anymore. He abandoned them and chose Christians instead. And the more I looked into any one of those questions, even questions like, this is what's happening in Gaza, I realized we don't have that. People are not getting the right information on this. For instance, Israel is not legitimate because it wasn't formed until 1948. None of the nations in that region were formed until the mid-1940s. Lebanon in 1943, Syria in 1944, Jordan in 1945, Egypt in 1946, 1947. The question is, why didn't the Palestinians form a state at that same time? Because they were invited to do so and given the land, the area of the country traditionally called Judea and Samaria, which is, you know from your visits there, that is the prosperous, fertile part of the land. And the answer is because the Palestinian leadership did not want to form its own nation. They wanted the Jews to not be able to form theirs. And so from 1948, they were invited to form a nation. 1967, 2000, 2008, they refused every time. And you realize, you know, when I first heard Dennis Prager talk about this and say one side in this, they want the other side to be dead. And that is the summary of the issue. When I first started to say that, I thought, oh, come on, nothing is really that simple. But it is quite literally the case that Israel is surrounded by enemies on all sides, fighting on 7 or 8 different fronts, depending on how you count it. And this Hamas group is a game changer. It's a paradigm shift. This is not your parents' Israel-Palestine conflict. And we need to understand what's really happening.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is while support for Hamas has reportedly waned in Gaza because the people see the horrible destruction that Hamas leadership brought on them and how cowardly they are, you know, living richly in other countries, etc. But what's remarkable and tragic is that in Judea Samaria, the so-called West Bank, that the Palestinians there are even more supportive of Hamas and more excited about what Hamas is doing and justifying it. So it's mind-boggling. And again, it's frustrating sometimes when we respond with facts and people have just heard fiction, but we have to keep putting the facts out. What about the chapter Israel according to the Bible? Obviously, this is going to matter to believers more than non-believers. What do you cover there?
Well, I'm trying to help Christians understand the Jewish roots of their faith. I can't tell you. Well, the reason I needed to write the book is because so many people said to me, oh, don't you know that God divorced the Jews? God has nothing to do with the Jews anymore. It's only Christians. You know, as if somehow Jesus died as a Jew and rose again as a Christian, and it's magical, and now the Jews are irrelevant to what God is doing in the world. So I take people back to the idea that is presented in Scripture, the narrative of Scripture, which is God's covenant. You begin with the covenant with Abraham, for example. And I'm sure you've explained this to your listeners many times, but a lot of people don't know this. A covenant is much more than a contract. A covenant is something you seal with your life. And quite literally, Abraham was prepared to do that. He divided the animals, sacrificed them, and he was to walk. Both parties to the covenant were to walk through the middle and say, in essence, if I break this covenant, may what was done to these animals be done to me. And then when God came, he put Abraham into a deep sleep, and God alone walked through the pieces.
Yeah.
So we call it the Abrahamic covenant. But technically, it's God making a covenant with himself on behalf of Abraham.
Yes.
So Abraham could not break the covenant because it is God's covenant with himself. And then when you look at the idea of covenant all through Scripture, Michael, it's always rooted in the land. It is the covenant with the people in the land, with the people in the land. You cannot separate that particular piece of real estate on the planet from what God was doing. And then, of course, as Christians, you know, I use Galatians chapter 3 quite often, that we are those who believe in Jesus are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And that blessing is those that we will be a blessing to the nations of the earth. So we get grafted into it. And I find it very frustrating how many Christians focus less on the awesomeness of being grafted in and more on their resentment about Jews and trying to make sure that everybody thinks they've been grafted out.
Yeah, I mean, so well put. Friends, we'll be right back with more from Jeff Myers, the name spelled M-Y-E-R-S. You want a simple book, clear book, factual book, reasoned book that you can give to others to explain your position or help educate yourself? Should Christians support Israel seeking a biblical worldview in an impossible situation? Jeff Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shimcha Kadosh.
just a few hours ago. I don't know why I thought to post this. I mean, it's so obvious and I've said it endlessly, but just posted a friendly reminder on X and on Facebook. Jesus was a rabbi, not a reverend. He was a Jew, not a Christian. His name was Yeshua and his mother's name was Miriam. He was called Christ because it was the Greek way of saying Messiah. He's the Savior of the world because he is Israel's Messiah. Just the basics, but often basics that are largely forgotten. You know, during the days of Nazi Germany, they had Aryan theologians who wrote whole books denying that Jesus was Jewish. So this resentment, this anger is quite extraordinary when the blessings of salvation have come to the world through the Jewish Messiah. I'm speaking with Jeff Myers. His book, Should Christians Support Israel? Seeking a Biblical Worldview in an Impossible Situation. Chapter 5 in your book is about generation indoctrination. We've talked about this, of course, on the air. You've referenced some of the things that I've written about as well. But when you're dealing with Gen Z, what are their main sources of information? How are they being so negatively impacted and influenced about Israel and the current war with Hamas right now?
Michael, before I dive into that, I forgot to mention this in the first segment, but I want to give a copy of this book to everybody who's listening. And all you have to do is go to summit.org/Israel. So if the things we're talking about right now are compelling to you, you know young adults who've been indoctrinated, please just go to summit.org/Israel and you can get a copy of the book. But how did they get to this place and what are their sources of information? Well, most young adults have used social media, not Facebook. I don't know any young adults who use Facebook, but they're using Instagram and TikTok primarily. And then they're talking to their friends. But here's the issue. I think, you know, there's sort of a category of things that young adults have, the untalkable things, the things you're not supposed to even address. And the goal of the progressive left is to get more and more things in that category. So if you say, I'm pro-life, then people say, well, you can't say that. You're a Nazi. Or, you know, I think Israel has a legitimate right to exist. Oh, you can't say that. You're a fascist. Or, you know, I think we should have unity between the races. Oh, you can't say that. You're a racist. So this category of victimhood that young adults embrace make it virtually impossible for young adults who don't believe the pro-Hamas lie to address it. And that's why it's so important to learn how to ask good questions. What do you mean by that? How did you arrive at that conclusion? How do you know that's true? What's your source of information? You know, even talking about the talk, listen, if we talk about Israel and Palestine, it could get heated. Are you okay with that? I mean, do we have the kind of friendship where we can respectfully listen to one another, even if we end up disagreeing? Those sorts of things set the preconditions for any kind of a discussion. And what we're finding, Michael, is strange, but I've done 9-hour-long Q&A sessions this summer with about 1,000 students. I let them ask all of their hard questions about Israel. And weirdly, making them feel safe to ask all of the hard questions actually persuades them to move away from this anti-Israel stance.
Mm. So you do find that their thought processes are still working when presented with right information.
They are. I don't think there's any this may be the one piece of good news in this is that young adults tend to respond to the facts. This is why I wrote it in a book. It's only 120 pages. You can read it in 2 hours, but it has 200 pieces of documentation. I'll just give you a quick example. At the end of March, we did a poll with Scott Rasmussen, the respected pollster. We oversampled Gen Z, so we have definitive results about what Gen Z thinks about Israel and Hamas and just war and things like that. We asked them, do you think that Israel's greater military strength and wealth makes its cause against Hamas unjust? And 47% of young adults said, yes, Israel is unjust. So for those who answered yes, we asked the follow-up question. Do you think the fact that all of the Hamas leaders have become millionaires and billionaires by skimming off of international aid designated for destitute Gazans makes their cause unjust? 57% of them said yes, and 24% said not sure. In other words, more than half of them changed their mind with the presentation of one simple fact. That led me to believe that if you can get the facts to people, they will back away from the indoctrination and you know, the radicalism like what we have been seeing outside of the Democratic National Convention in the last few days.
So I think we have to distinguish between the protester on the street who's committed enough to be out there yelling and screaming and carrying a Hamas flag or wearing a keffiyeh or something like that and denouncing Israel and accusing Israel of genocide. And when you try to talk to them and ask them questions, they won't even talk to you. That's not your average person. Your average person is not that radicalized and that militant. And if you can get them to – one of the strengths of Gen Z is empathy. One of the strengths of Gen Z is siding with the underdog, right? Siding with the outsider. So in their mind, the bad people are the Israelis and the people who've been hurt and marginalized are the Palestinians, especially the Gazans. So their empathy, it's a good thing. It's just misplaced in terms of how it comes down based on misinformation. Of course they should care about the suffering of the people in Gaza. Absolutely. But when they realize it's because of Hamas, that if not for Hamas, Israel would be dwelling peacefully with the people in Gaza and they could be economically prosperous. It's simply saying, hey, tell you what, let's make a little deal. If you stop trying to kill us, we'll be your friend. that's really what it comes down
right.
to. If you, you know, let's sit down and have a meeting of the minds. What would you like? Well, I want to kill you. Okay, well, put
right.
that down
yeah.
and we can try to work this thing out. You do, though, you don't pull punches. When it comes to Hamas, again, friends, extraordinary offer from Jeff and his team. Go to summit.org to get your copy of Should Christians Support Israel? But chapter 8, last question I want to ask you. Hamas, inside an apocalyptic rape and death cult. So you're speaking in measured terms. You're documenting things. You're not trying to be sensationalistic. And yet you have a chapter title, Hamas. Inside an apocalyptic rape and death cult. Please flesh that out for us.
Well, apocalyptic refers to an end times philosophy. And Hamas is supported by Iran. They are not Shiite Muslims, but well, 99% of them are Sunni Muslims in Gaza. But they are supported by Iran. And Iran, this Shiite group, the leaders there, they believe that there will come a 12th Imam, Muhammad al-Mahdi, who's a direct descendant of Muhammad, who will take over the world and rule it as an Islamic caliphate. The only thing stopping it from happening is the existence of the State of Israel. That is like the Muhammad al-Mahdi is not going to return until you take care of this one thing. That's Iran's approach. That's why they fund people on, you know, even people who would be in a religious civil war with one another if they weren't against Israel, Iran funds them all. So Hamas has developed this philosophy. They have indoctrinated their people through decades of anti-Jewish education. They take literally the comment that Muhammad made in the Quran, which is to slaughter Jews wherever you find them. And they make children, they raise children to glory in the day where they might be allowed to kill a Jew. And so once they've developed that idea, then how do they put it into practice? They don't develop a regular army. They have told their people, whatever you do to kill the Jews or bring about the annihilation of Israel is legitimate self-defense. Okay, this is called the Islamic Resistance Movement. That's what Hamas is. It's an acronym from Arabic for Islamic Resistance Movement. So when people chant glory to the resistance, they aren't just saying we think the Palestinians are beleaguered and Israel's a bully. They're saying we embrace Hamas's strategy for dealing with this. Why do I say it's a rape cult? Because many of the terrorists who came into Israel and southern Israel, and I hesitate to talk about this on the air, they came in with the intention of using sexual humiliation. in order to subdue their enemy. And I give more details in the book. If people are triggered by descriptions of sexual assault, you want to skip that part of the book. But I needed to present the facts because this was intentional. The evidence now documents this. Even the United Nations has reviewed the report on it and said this represents the truth. This is what Hamas is doing.
Yeah, and I saw, as I'm sure you did, the 47 minutes of footage put together by the IDF, and you see some of the evidence of what they're targeting and doing. And then went to the site of the Nova Music Festival back in June. I was there, and then another lot where they have all these cars stacked up, just all the cars that were burnt, demolished, and others that are bullet-ridden, and you see the horror of it. And again, before some of the outcry, the terrorists were posting this on social media, celebrating the great triumph over the evil Israelis. So friends, we pray for the salvation of all in the Middle East. We pray for God's grace to be with all, but we call evil evil, and we recognize that Israel is seeking to eradicate the evil of Hamas. And to do so is ultimately to help the Palestinians, not hurt them. The book by Jeff Myers, Should Christians Support Israel? Seeking a Biblical Worldview in an Impossible Situation. And you can get your copy at summit.org. Jeff, keep up the great work, especially with Gen Z. We need it. God bless you.
Thank you, Michael.